So today I'm kind of talk about pricing and hedging strategy for contingent gains and incomplete hybrid emission market. This is cool. I'm starting now my PhD research and then this cool work with my PhD. As you were expecting that they were introduced like European emissions, so directly I'm going to go to UTS experience. As for those, there are 6 future contracts at the first commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol from 2008 until the end of the first year. And you have seen here that strange behavior of the future contracts. And you have seen this high historical volatility plus existence of a chance. So if you go deep to see the problem and to understand the characteristic of the market, we see here like we have auctioning up to 10% in phase 2. And from the participant of the Pond Carbon survey was done recently and was published in March 2010. Okay. So 51% from them, they have already sold some surplus. And you also we have like the market position, it depends on the sector. And in fact, the shortest one is power and heat sector, and the most land one is the pulp paper and cement, lime and glass sectors. So now it gives a right to following questions. Is really the cap and trade system the most cost effective policy instrument? Which means, does it like a quantity policy instrument, does it really explain the behavior and the relationship that exists on between the abatement cost and the benefit and the marginal benefit? And also, does it really force emission reductions? Actually, like we need also to keep in mind that we have put the cap and trade system to force emission reduction. So this is our objective. And also, for which market design, really, like two price signals best describe the true cost of emitted carbon. So, because if not, why do you have like cap and trade system? Why we don't have really tax market, a tax system? And how we can really protect regulated companies and consumers the transition to the clean energy economy? Because as it was mentioned, that we are some people and some like countries that did not ratify the Kyoto Protocol, and they are really competitors from people who have already ratified. So to do so, a lot of work has been done, and a lot of people like that discussed the efficiency of the cap and trade market, let's say. Baumann and Oates in 89 and Montero 2002. And they said that there are no really strict dominance between quantity instrument and price instrument. So what they suggest? It suggests a hybrid system. A hybrid system, in fact, is a combination between cap and trade and tax system. And a lot of analysis has been done recently, especially by Jacob and Enermar 2004, which really based the analysis why the Bush administration said no to the tax, the cap and trade market, and why they did not ratify the protocol. So within the hybrid system, basically what they do, they have an upper bound for the prices, which is setting up to protect the economy and basically the company that from a foreign competitor. And as we see, if you set like PMAX as equal to infinity, we can basically be in the cap and trade market framework. So, and also, we remark it like from the European experience, they have windfall profits, which is really some like companies they have for free profit, which is that's why we had like the market is too low. And so what we propose here is we advise that we need to have 100% auctioning system, and we can use this ANCA fund to distribute all the income to the final consumer as tax reduction. So now let's just try to understand little bit the market. Who's the main players in the market? We have on the left hand, let's say, we have the regulator, and the right one is the emitter. Basically, the regulator is going to set auctionic price to zero, and the national dominant zero, and the length of compliance period, and penalties by enter incomplete information. When we say incomplete information, it means he does not know really the abatement cost and really social cost of such regulation, and he does not really know the emission quantity. However, on the other side, the emitter, he really know with accuracy the emission prediction, and he has also the available cost available. Let's say this is the complementary information of the regulator. And if the price was set into P0, which is higher than his apartment cost, he's going to basically avoid to pay P0, and he's going to buy, and he's going to reduce the, he's going to invest toward the clean energy. And so, at the end, the total selling allowances will be less than the fixed by the government. And then here, we basically ensure that the market is a little bit short, at least short than what it is now, and then we can really like promote the emission reduction. So let's now have to understand the market behavior. Let's have start with two-period market model. Let's suppose that we have two compliance periods, T1 and T2, and framework, we suppose that the banking is allowed, but we assume also that it does not affect the market position at time T1. What do we mean by does not affect market position? It means like if the market is too low, by then people, they want to apply the right to bank loans, and they're not going to change the market to a short one, the short position. And also we always like forbid the borrowing, and in case of insufficient certificates shown at time T1, like he has to do later delivery and to pay penalty by at time T1. This is like what he's setting up in from 2008 in the European market. And then suppose that we have safety false price Pmax, in this case where we sample the framework and we assume that it's constant, but we can put it deterministic. And we have this is like another number important assumption, which is like the regulator, he will adjust the market parameters at time T1 plus. That means like if the market is too short, they cannot put it more long for the next following period. If the market is too long, it's going to be more short. This is why basically we can why have like explain why the future prices are, and the first slide they are like ordered like follow. So let us define the discounted price process of the future contract. X1T that matches at XT1 and X2T matches at T2. Why we choose here the future contracts? Because basically if we see the European market, we have like the more liquid market is the future one. The spot market is not really like liquid. Then we define the stopping time to omega as the first time hitting the upper bound. And we are looking at the price and L2 contention claim with payoff F. So under no arbitrage condition, we should have the X1T less than the actualized penalty plus X2T. And which is like, else we can build a strategy to get arbitrage. And also, if once that market is too short, it's going to stay too short and the market and the price is going to set be freezing and set equal P max. In case of T omega is less than T1, we're going to get like at time T1 under no arbitrage conditions, we have X2 T1 equal P max minus pi, and the payoff of the contention claim will be equal to F P max. And in case of the market, it doesn't touch the upper bound, basically that means the cap and trade market. And the assumption that the market, the regulator is going to adjust the market parameters. We can distinguish two phases, which is short position, which will be under translated as the X2T1 will be less than the X1T1. In fact, the market now is short. So as the regulator, they know that the second, for beginning of the second period, they can adjust the market, then it's going to be less short, more lines, yeah? And then x to t1 should be less than x1 t1. And then the payoff is going to be a function of x1 t1 and pi plus x2 t1 and p max. I wonder if you guys can say that under the Norr-Petter condition we know that the minimum x1 t1, but yeah, we put it here because to see that here we have basically we need to have the price, it can depend on the future that matters the second period. And if the market is not short, so basically the emitter, like the market participant will expect that the market next time will be more short, and then we have the future. Here, don't forget we are working with discounted price, future price. X2 T1 is bigger than X1 T1, again, as your omega is going to be as usual, which is S X1 T1. And writing this formally, we can have the effective payoff, which is function of the indicator function, which is basically translate the different market cases. If you have, for example, H equals T1 call option and track price K written on X1 T, we have S equal X minus K plus, and T plus also in X2 T1. What? So the moral story is like, what the model show us is like, if you wanted to price contention claim on one period, we really need to have multi-period models to really hedge the contention claim. That's why here, like, the contention claim depends on X2 T1. So really, we need to hedge. If you wanted to hedge your contention claim, we need to take position both X1 T1 and X2 T1. And X2 T, like, it's not really T1, like, during all the traded period. So now, let's try to give a pricing and hedging solution. As was pointed out by Daskalakis and all in 2010, the mirror version of diffusion dynamic is the best. It outperforms the other dynamics to explain the market behavior. And given the probability space, which verify the usual conditions and contain the peak monitor that contains transportation generated by omega t and n t for all t1, for all t less than t, the t1 minus, because at t1 plus, we can have like next error information given by the regulator by adjusting the market parameters. So the market is clearly incomplete, and it has really an intrinsic risk. Here we're going to suppose that equivalent mathematical measure is not empty, but it's not true. And as one of my projects, I want to work on it, and I want to like to study this assumption and how this assumption is true depending on the market parameters. Because basically here, if you want to apply the general, like the usual literature to suppose that probability measure key is not empty, in this case, we need to prove it, like, because basically it's not like the other markets, because here we have like some parameters that market depends tightly. So given the two mayor decomposition of the future price, x1t, and define MIT as its Martingale component, so we define dynamic strategy phi as predictable process, xi t, and adaptable process, nu of t, basically n of eta of t is like the position held in the bank account, and xi of t is the position held on x1 t and x2 t. Basically, it's like two-dimension problem. And given portfolio value process here, t, as we know, we define the cumulative gains as the gain or loss given the strategy xi of s, and coming from the fluctuation of the price. We define also the cumulative cost of CT equals VT minus the cumulative gain. Here we choose like the risk as the risk defined as the remaining risk. So basically we look here the strategy, we're gonna look at the strategy that minimize the remaining costs. In the Black-Scholes framework, we know that the cost process is constant, and here basically we need like to find out a strategy that costs the less cost strategy. Anyway, so define the space of square and typical martingale and two of p. Here basically, we use this for Schweizer decomposition. What they do is basically they're looking for strategy phi such as the cost process is square and typical martingale, And the cost process also is orthogonal to the Mathematical component entered pi. This is they call it the literature like the local Eric minimization. What and they prove is that it exists only if and only if the contention can be written in the H-pole part plus the H-pole part, which really generate the risk of the contention claim. So if we have to define alpha as follows, and which is constant in our case, because basically we're working with the constant coefficient. We define the mean variance set of process as follows, and this process is deterministic and uniformly bounded in our case, which implies that all L to P contention claim admits unique for much faster the decomposition, and then we can find the proof at Bonnet and Cycle 95. So basically what we want to do now is want to find out like we assume that the equivalent martingale space, probability space, not empty, so it exists like huge choices. So basically what they propose in the literature, as Pfizer proposed it, the minimal martingale measure we had. What he said in this proper measure is you can say is the probability measure that keeps the same, in some sense, the same structure of the historical probability measure. And defined density processes of, so after computation that they made, so they defined density process of this probability measure, Z of t as follows, and where the stochastic exponential martingale defined as follows, under some conditions in the model parameters, we ensure that this process, density process, is positive, and is square integrable under P. So, and then we can use our unit framework, which is Black-Scholes framework. Under P hat, we have the value of the portfolio equal expected value of H given the filtration alpha of D, and then we can propose here different dynamics of our process. Enter PTS as follows. We can basically compute the price at time zero, which is equal to the expected value here, and we can use straightforward techniques like Monte Carlo to compute the value H, or we can use PTE techniques to find the price P0 and the sensitivities. Thank you.